Hi there. Thanks for joining us as we unpack this series titled, This Is That. Have you ever wondered about the Holy Spirit? Well, this sermon is for you. Pastor Carl and Pastor Henry share an amazing word about the Holy Spirit, the person, the presence, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's dive in and gear up for Pentecost Sunday.
I did this already. I preached so good in the first service. I hope I can do the same. I don't know. It could be tough, but I'll do my best. I tell you. You know, I'm going to preach on tongues today. Can you say tongues? How many people find speaking in tongues a bit awkward? How many people you speak in tongues? Don't put your hands up. Just pretend. How many you just pray in tongues every day? You pray in tongues. You speak in tongues. You shout in tongues. Declare in tongues. I drive while I'm even if there's some old school rock and roll on the radio. I still speak in tongues. Even if Led Zeppelin is going, I'm going, boy, I tell you, there's not a time I don't just give her. So I want you to know there's a wild, wild, incredible benefit to being a tongue talker, to praying in tongues, to screaming in tongues. I want you to do it. You know, well, why should I? Because there's ridiculous benefits. Do you have to? No, it's a gift. It's a gift. You know when it's not a gift? When you have to earn it, or you got, and it's not a gift if it's forced upon you. It's not a gift. Gifts are things you say thank you, you unpack it, and you go, it's just what I wanted. It's a gift. And I tell you, tongues is a gift. And I'm telling you, it's not just what you want, it's what you need. And it's got great benefits. So I'm going to talk you into it today. Say amen. Amen. All right, Acts chapter 2, this is where we are. We're still doing This Is That. After today, This Is That. We're going to finish that up next week. We're going to make Canada a big deal next week. We're going to have a service all about Canada. We're going to prophesy over Canada. We're going to prophesy over our city. We're going to prophesy. We might even prophesy over St. Thomas. Amen. But we're going to, we got some St. Thomas people. Yeah, we're going to see the glory of God flood this land. Amen. So come expecting. Come with your red and your white. Come ready to declare great things over Canada. I double dog dare you to bring a flag and run around the building during worship. Amen. I'm looking forward to it. Acts chapter 2, 16 says, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet. What is it? This is that. What is it? It's this is that. I want to tell you what it is. The prophet Joel spoke, said, what you see is predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. This has a context. It's got a place. It's got somewhere it comes from. And I want you to know this experience we're having is rooted in the promises of God and the word of God. I throw in this little quote in just for fun. Just for fun, Smith Wigglesworth read this quote today. He said, some people read their Bibles in Hebrew. Some people read it in Greek. I like to read mine in the Holy Ghost. I just thought that was fun because that's the truth. I don't ever open your Bible without saying, teacher, breathe on this, illuminate, give me deep revelation. Because you know what? There are tests, but you got a built-in tutor. It's an open book test, and you will come through 100% all the time when you let the Holy Ghost break the word with you. Amen. Get an amen. Come on and get me an amen. All right. Mark 16, 17 to 18. I'm going to hit this button right here. Mark 16, 17 to 18. And these signs, say signs. These signs shall follow those who are super duper anointed, who walk in great power and authority, who are anointed and have had visions and revelations, have gone Mark 7 into the third heaven. Those people, signs follow them. That's not what it says. It says, these signs follow those who believe. Anybody believe? Do you 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 believe? No, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to put up your hand. Any believers here today? Don't be ashamed. You're in church, for goodness sake. Any believers here today? This is your job description. They will cast out demons. Amen. How many got a couple of friends got issues? Hey, come out of that demon. Hallelujah. They will cast out demons. They will, say they will. They will speak with new tongues. Believers will speak with new tongues. I'm not saying take the summer and learn Spanish. I'm not saying that. I'm saying there is a glossalia. There is the language of heaven. There is the language from God. They confused all the languages at the Tower of Babel. But when Pentecost came, he gave us one language again. He restored our language. He gave us the divine language of heaven. They will speak with new tongues. Can I get a shoot? Yes, we are a tongue-talking charismatic church. Man, I just wandered in. I was wondering. Well, stop wondering. It's true. But it's a big deal. It's a big deal. You know, sometimes if you don't know that you've got a beautiful tool that does something fantastic, you might just leave it on the shelf and say, that's really cool. But boy, when you know what it can accomplish in your life, you're going to use it. Double dog dare you to leave here today and not demand that the gift of tongues is in operation in your life. I double dog dare you. I'm going to stand at the door and say, next, ooh, ta-ra-ra-ba, sha-ta-ra-ba, next, hey, la, hi, ha-la-la, bu-shu, ta-ra-ra-ba, next, ing-re-re-ba, sha-ta-ra-ra-ba, sa. How many want to leave early? These signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. In my name, they will speak in new tongues. In my name, they will lay their hands on the sick and they will recover. Anybody got some sick friends? You're a believer. Lay your hands on the sick and they will recover. Amen. You know what the greatest hindrance to healing is? The greatest hindrance? The greatest hindrance to healing is you believe there's a hindrance to healing. Stop it. Lay your hand. Any believers here today? These signs will follow, which means you're going somewhere. You're going. You're loosing everywhere you go the things of God. So we're going to talk about tongues. Charles Caron used to be a Baptist preacher, seminary guy, and he got whacked in the Holy Ghost and started speaking in tongues. He was like, oh my goodness. But it transformed his life. But Charles Caron said this. He said, tongues is the only spiritual gift deliberately designed to attack man's ego and pride. It exposes insincerity, self-centeredness, falsity, and other negative traits of believers. Like, don't you wish it was something different than tongues? Because it sounds silly. Hey, like, I'm live streaming. We're live streaming. And we want people to come to church, but they might watch this and go, those people are crazy. But I want them to know up front. Rabba shi tererebeke, ribarababa, sadrababo shotorobo, repeste. And I speak in tongues all the time, and I'm so glad that gift is powerful. But Charles Caron says, wow, it exposes pride, ego, insincerity, and self-centeredness. You know what's worse than being demon-possessed? Being self-possessed. Because I can cast out a demon, but I can't cast out you. And sometimes you are the greatest enemy of a preferred future. You're unwilling to change your mind. You're unwilling to, I say, rejoice in the Lord always. I don't want it right now. I didn't say, do you want it? I said, do it. Because you know what? Your strength, the strength of God, not it comes, but the joy of the Lord is your strength. And if you're weak, ha, ha, ha. There's a lot of times, you know, we're too full of ourselves. We're too self-possessed. I'd like to raise my hands. I'd like to dance. I'd like to shout, but I'm so self-conscious. That's self-possessed. Stop it. Turn to your neighbor and say, stop it. Bring a flag next week and run around. Yeah, come on. Wouldn't that be great to see about 100 people just running around with flags going crazy? Hey, how many would like to see that? How many would like to know which service is that in? I think that's great, don't you? Ah, that's good. Let me finish the quote. You ready? Because of its unique attack on the human intellect, tongues remain the eternal watch guard at the gate. In a very calculated way, this gift protects all other gifts from exploitation. The Holy Spirit will not allow us to choose one charisma and reject another. I think that's pretty strong. I think it might be a little strong because I know that, you know what, the gift of tongues is yours. It's in your tool chest and you may not use it, but you know what, you also have gifts of healing. And if you got a sick friend, pull out the gifts of healing. And I don't care if you haven't spoken tongues before, release the gift of healing, get it done. But you know, tongues is one of those things. Like, tongues has massive, massive benefits in the life of a believer. And I want to encourage you to speak in tongues. Is that okay? All right. And don't get all awkward. Don't get all self-possessed. Stop it. Just lay your hand on yourself and say, come out. All right, good. All right, first Pentecost, I've showed you this already, but I'm going to do it again. There's a contrast with first Pentecost. First Pentecost was 50 days after Passover. They came out of Egypt after Passover. 50 days later, they had Pentecost. All right, that's what happened. Flames on the mountain and shaking. There was flames and violent winds, and that's what happened. And then the law was given. See, what happened at Pentecost? They're celebrating that Moses came down the hill and he had the tablets of stone. So they're celebrating the law. Say the law. Pentecost was about the law. That's what it was about. And the law is, it lays out for you, this is how you live. If you hang out with us, here's the rules. You do this, you don't do that. You do this, please never catch me doing that. If you do this, you will sit on the back row for a while because you're a dog. These are the rules around here. This is the law. This is how to live. That's what they were given, the law. It was a drunken party took place. They made a calf, and then Moses broke the tablets over the calf, and 3,000 people died. The first Pentecost, 3,000 people died. Boom. And there was people who were trembling in fear. Acts chapter 2, Pentecost. There, the Jewish people are celebrating the law. They're celebrating the law. At the same time, they are celebrating that the law was given. At the same time, 120 people were in another upper room. And the same time they're celebrating the Passover for the, or the Pentecost for the law, there's 120 people waiting because Jesus said, wait until you get power from on high. So at the same time that they're thanking God for the law, a whole bunch of believers got whacked in the Holy Ghost. Hello. A whole bunch got whacked, so whacked, a crazy party, they spilled out of the upper room. And you see, when the first Pentecost happened, the people pulled away. No, no. At the first, at the, this Pentecost, Acts 2 Pentecost, the people came running over. What's going on? See, the first Pentecost made them tremble and run. The Acts 2 Pentecost made them come in awe and wonder. Are you listening? Is that what's going on? Okay. But I love that, don't you? The people drew near in wonder, so that's what happened. So I'm going to show you a picture right here. Picture, little geography. Say geography. How many people love geography? Thank you very much. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Anyone else? Just heads closed, eyes bowed. Heads closed, eyes bowed. That was good. Heads closed, eyes bowed. I love geography. All right, so what I want to show you here is on purpose is this called the Great Divide. That red line divides the continent. Now, if water falls or anything flows, anything is going to flow one way or the other. It is a complete divide. It's not going to flow over. It doesn't get to choose. If you're on this side, it goes this way. If you're on this side, it goes this way. Do you understand me? There is a great divide. It's either this way or it's that way. It is not both. There is a great divide. Say divide. All right. You got a Bible. It has a great divide. It's called the Old Testament and the New Testament. There is an old will and there is a new will. My will only goes in force if I die. But if you have a will and it was found out that there's a will that is more recent than that, the more recent will makes the old will obsolete, null, and void. There is a New Testament. There was an old covenant, but there's a New Testament. And at the cross, there is an absolute divide. The old doesn't come through. There's a few principles that may come through. A lot of things get deleted and some things get changed. But everything is new in the New Covenant. Are you an old covenant believer or are you a New Covenant believer? You're a New Covenant believer, in case you were scratching your head on that one. If you're a believer, you're a new covenant believer. Hebrews 8:13 says, when God speaks of a new covenant, it means he has made the first one obsolete. Is anybody working on Windows 7? Why not? Because it's obsolete. You had to upgrade because none of your programs worked anymore. Well, the same thing in the spirit. If you're living out of an old covenant context, you're getting no results. That's because you're working on the wrong program. You got to step in the new covenant truth to get new covenant results. And sadly, a lot of people have a ridiculous mixture and they're wondering why they're so sad. Ha ha ha. It's now out of date, soon going to disappear. Wayne Grudem is a theologian. I'm just a preacher. I shout and I spit. I know some Bible stuff and I'm actually pretty theologically smart. But Wayne Grudem, he does it for a full-time. I golf sometimes and swim in the pool. But Wayne Grudem, full-time theologian. Christian ethics, he wrote this. It is important to realize that the author of Hebrews is not saying, say not saying. He said it's obsolete. What is he not saying? He's not saying that some of the old covenant laws are no longer binding, like the ones that if you're on your menstrual cycle, you can't come to church. That's in there. Isn't that weird? Why is that there? Well, study that. Meditate on that. The one where if you're wearing cotton and polyester, that's not of God. Anybody wearing a blended shirt right now? Get out! Like, study that for a while. Has anybody got tomatoes next to the corn? Get out! I'm going to go kick over your garden this afternoon. It's not right. It's ungodly. These are all stuff in the law. So it's not just, he's saying it's not just that crazy stuff that's obsolete. He's saying it's not, I'm not saying just some of the old covenant laws are obsolete, such as sacrificial laws and purity laws. Did you notice we didn't kill any calves or bulls or goats today? Did anybody notice that? We're not doing that anymore. Amen. But that old covenant itself, the entire system of laws that define the relationship with God and his people is no longer in effect. Doesn't mean it's not awesome. Doesn't even mean it's not good. I mean, some of it, the moral laws, those things, it's all good. Thou shalt not lie. That's good. Amen. Thou shalt not covet your neighbor's stuff. That's good. The Lord your God is one. He's first. There's a lot of good stuff in that. But listen, it is no longer the authorized way to frame your life going forward. It is not a to-do list for you to fulfill to have a relationship with God. It is not the operation, it is not the structure, it is not the strategy for you to get to heaven or have a relationship with God. As far as you relating to God, it is done, it is over, it is past. All right. The new covenant has come. What is the new covenant? It's got a new commission. There's a gospel of grace. There's a gospel of grace. It's a gospel of good news. Here's the thing, that you got a relationship with God because of his obedience, not because of yours. You get to be one with the Father and one spirit with God because of the finished work of the cross. And it's not by grace. It's not by works, so no one can boast. It's by grace through faith. That's it. Has no works involved. All the works that were needed, Jesus did it. It's yours by just saying, thank you. Amen. It's a new commission. It's a new commission. It's a new commission. We proclaim the gospel of grace, the gospel of peace. It's a new commandment. Love as I have loved you. What was the old commandment? What was the old one? Does anybody know what the old one was? Jesus got met by a guy, a teacher, and he came up to him and he says, what's the most important commandment? And Jesus said, I love Jesus, because Jesus always answers questions with questions. He said, what do you say? What do you say? What do you think the most important commandment was? Well, he responded and he said, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said, well done. Knock yourself out. Give that a try. And then to justify himself, he said, because he's thinking, here's what he's thinking. I actually don't like some people. So let's first of all, if I'm going to go give that a try, let me define, well, who is my neighbor? I mean, really, who is my neighbor? And Jesus said, oh, let me tell you a story. And he told him about the Good Samaritan. And he did that because he knew the Jews hate Samaritans. And he knew if he said a part of obeying that law is you got to love Samaritans, he would put that guy in a fit. Because we think I can apply it as long as I get to make the rules. I love a lot of people. Well, not them so much. But Lord, you don't even love them, do you? Yes, he does. See, so the old covenant was love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And there's a lot of preachers still preaching that. But it's the law. Because how do I know that you really loved him with all your strength? Because some of you weren't worshiping really good today. Looked kind of miserable, actually. And if that was all your heart, good luck with that. If that's going to get you into heaven, I don't know, I'd be concerned. Aren't you glad that it's not scale? It's not like, aren't you glad that my reason for standing before the Father, I've only got one thing to say, the blood of Jesus. I wouldn't trust 10 seconds of my best effort to qualify me for eternity. The blood of Jesus. Are you okay? I'll move along. Okay. I feel the move along anointing. All right. It's a new commission, it's a new commandment, it's a new empowerment. See, you're not given rules to obey, you're giving power to live. You're not given a list of things to try to check your boxes, you're given God himself, the Godhead dwelling in you, to manifest the very nature of Christ himself. You're not trying to be like him, you are like him. I am one with the Godhead. He and I are one spirit, and I function out of his very life. John 1:17, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. I have a question for you. I have a question for all of you. Are you paying attention? I have a question. Are you trying to have a relationship with God through Moses, or are you having a relationship with God through Jesus? Moses, put your hand up. Moses! 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 Anybody? yeah, that'd be really stupid. But you see, that's trying to obey the law. That's a Moses plan. The law came through Moses, but here's what came through Jesus. Grace, truthfully and faithfully. The unmerited favor of God. That I'm in a relationship with him because of him, not because of me, because of him. And I just say thank you. Aren't you glad he delights in showing mercy? Aren't you glad he's a God who shows grace? Amen. Say Joshua. All right, Joshua is what Jesus' name was. His real name was Joshua. We call it Jesus because we Greekized it. But it's Joshua. So there was Moses and there was Joshua. Jesus was Joshua. Yeshua, Jesus. So Joshua led God's people to possess the promised land. Jesus is going to lead us to possess the promised land. Who could not go into the promised land with the people of God? Who could not go? Moses. Moses will not lead you into the promised land because Moses represents the law. And where you cross the Jordan to go into the spirit-filled experience with God, you're not going to get there through Moses. You'll only get there through Jesus. Thank you. Joshua. That's it. So it's a book of battle and it's a book of faith coming into victory and coming into full benefit. So here's what Joshua 1 says. The Lord spoke to Joshua and he said, Moses, my servant, is dead. And Joshua said, I know, I saw that. No, he told him because he wants you to know this. He wants to fix the truth in your head. Moses is dead. You cannot enter into a supernatural, spiritual, empowered future with Moses. You will not experience my inheritance for you and the full blessing in your life through Moses. Moses is dead. The Old Testament is obsolete and done away with. Can I get an amen? This is a massive problem with people who are not discipled properly. Settle down. I'm not angry with you. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan into what I'm giving them. You're going to go into houses you did not build. You're going to lands you did not develop. You're going to experience vineyards that you did not plant. You're going to experience fields that you did not plant. You're going to have flocks and fields and things that you did not plant because you're going to enter the land that I am giving to you. Amen. How many like that? Hey, you're going to get a house you didn't pay for. It's going to be a two-car garage, and there's going to be a car for the winter and a car for the summer. Oh, come on. You're getting my expectations up. I'm not getting your expectations up. Read your Bible. What would happen if we actually believed our Bible? Okay, never mind. Let's move on. The Israelites across the Jordan, Joshua 1:8. Listen, this is a good one. You ready? This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, for you shall observe to do according to all that is written in it. This was the Torah, the whole law. Observe, mutter it. Mutter it, meditate means to hugga, to mutter under your breath. Mutter the word of God under your breath. Do it all the time so that you will do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success because you muttered the law, got it into your heart, got it into your system, and you're doing your very, 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 very best to obey every single thing in it. Can I get an amen? How many know I love that verse? And there's some great truth in that. It really is. But you see, it's all about me struggling to learn the law, to embrace the law, to get it all figured out in my life. Here's the gospel. Jesus got it all figured out for you. It says, bring every thought into subjection to the obedience of Christ. He obeyed, he completed it, it is finished in Christ. You get to take all that stuff that you couldn't do and say, you did it all? Yes, I did it all on your behalf. You just have to believe me. And then if you will believe me, all the benefits and all the blessings are yours by faith. That's good news right there, amen. This is a very important verse because this verse tells you how to get prosperity and good success. Who wants prosperity and good success? What the rest of you want? Just an average life? I don't know. I mean, how many would love me to tell you how to do that? How many would leave here today with the secret of prosperity and good success? The God version. All right. Got a cameraman back there waving his arms. The Old Testament strategy for success was this word, to meditate on the word of God. That was the Old Testament strategy for success. Now, 2 Corinthians 3:6 says, he has qualified us. Who? Who qualified you? Who qualified you? He has qualified you, making us sufficient as ministers of a new covenant of salvation through Christ Jesus, not of the letter of the law, the written code, but of the Spirit. For the letter of the law kills. 3,000 died when the Spirit came, 3,000 were made alive. For the letter kills by revealing sin and demanding obedience, but the Spirit gives life. God didn't send His Son so that you could be better people. He sent His Son because you were dead and you needed life. He didn't try to make bad people gooder. He came to make dead people alive. Now, this is some serious discipleship today. I know. This seems like a lot of work. It's really not. It's going to get really easy in a minute. 1 Corinthians 14:15, I will pray with my spirit by the Holy Spirit that is in me, and I will pray intelligently with my mind and my understanding. We pray to communicate with God, and we expect to receive. Praying in the Spirit engages the mind of the Spirit and engages the will of God. Let me say it again. Praying in the Spirit engages the mind of the Spirit and engages the will of God. 1 Corinthians 14:18, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. Who said that? The Apostle Paul said that. The guy who had face-to-face third heaven revelation, sat down and had face-to-face seminary, face-to-face Bible school with the risen Savior. He had him right on his heart, the very will and revelation of a risen Christ. And what does he say? What did this guy say? I speak in tongues more than any of you. Well, is there any good reason for that? Why are you telling us that? Is there a purpose for speaking in tongues that much? There's an advantage for talking in tongues. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. I didn't understand a word you were saying, Pastor. I wasn't talking to you. He does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. When we're speaking in tongues, we are in the Spirit. When you're speaking in tongues, you're in the Spirit. They actually did a test on a whole bunch of people speaking in tongues, and they put probes on their brains that speak in tongues. They began to speak in tongues and pray in tongues. And funny thing they noticed was the language center of their brain went dark. The weird thing was, as they were talking, and yet the language center of their brain was not active. Interesting. Look it up. Google it. Fact check me. It's true. For he who speaks in tongues does not speak to men, but to God. When you're speaking in tongues, you are in the Spirit. What are you speaking? Mysteries. Mysteries. You're speaking hidden things, secret things, generally mysteries, religious secrets, confided only to the initiated, not to ordinary mortals. Are any ordinary mortals here today? Well, I'm only human, Pastor. No, you're not. You're divine. You're connected with Him. You're brought into oneness with the Godhead. You are superpowered. That's what Paul said to the church in Corinth. He said, I'm writing to you as mere humans. What's wrong with you? You actually think you're merely human. You are a partaker of divine nature. That's what Peter said. Any partakers of divine nature here? I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. Oh, you're just merely human. You screw up. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. Mysteries, hidden, secret things, not obvious to your understanding, hidden purposes or counsels. Vine says, mysteries, what is it? That which being outside the range of unassisted natural apprehension can be made known by a divine revelation, and it is made known to those only who are illuminated by the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 4:1, let a man now so consider us that as we are servants of Christ, we are stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in a steward to be faithful. We are stewards of what? Mysteries. When I speak in tongues, what am I speaking? Mysteries. What are we stewards of? We are stewards of mysteries. What are tongues? They are unseen things, secret things, things from God, divine things that He wants to bring into manifestation. When we speak in tongues, we are engaging with the Spirit, and we're speaking the very will of God into present day circumstances. We're loosing revelation from heaven to transform our circumstances and every other circumstance. Hey! 1 Corinthians 2:6, I'm not reading all of it to 16, but we speak the wisdom of God in mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. See, they didn't speak in tongues in the old covenant, but in the new covenant, when the Spirit came, it came and the law was replaced with a spiritual living life where you're led by the Spirit of God every day. You're not led by trying to memorize a law. You're led by the Spirit of God Himself, animating every fiber of your being, led by the Spirit of God. Those who are the children of God, they are led by the Spirit of God. Mysteries, hidden wisdom ordained before the ages, but God has revealed them to us through His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. 2 Peter 3:15-16. So, beloved brother Paul, according to his wisdom given to him, he has written to you and also his epistles, speaking in them of things which are, sometimes the stuff Paul writes, it's just plain hard to understand. Peter had a face-to-face relationship with Jesus, taught by Jesus face-to-face. And yet he says, you know, Paul's got this crazy connection with God. What did Paul say about himself? I speak in tongues more than all of you. I am given a stewardship of mysteries, and I proclaim to you mysteries. I'm telling you, talking in tongues is the way to cause prosperity and blessing and advancement to come in your life. That's what I'm saying today. It's not just some little parlor trick. It's not some little thing we do to go, who shot the pecan out of the trees? She came in a Yamaha, left an Honda. It's not that funny. Maybe it is. I don't know. That's not what it's about. Don't worry, the Holy Ghost didn't get offended. I was talking to him, he said, it's okay. He's not like a dove that anytime a baby cries to me, he goes, oh, I was about to manifest, but I gotta go. Say he's fickle, he's not fickle, he's powerful. And he's actually a lot of fun. He's the oil of joy. All right, Romans 8, 26, 27, and I'm coming to a rapid conclusion for those of you who are watching your clocks. And the Holy Spirit helps in our weaknesses. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings and things that cannot be expressed in words. Well, shouldn't that be interpreted? No. I was talking to God. If I jumped up in the middle of a worship service and I had a tongue to be interpreted, I would interpret it, or someone else would, because I had a tongue and an interpretation. But there's a tongue that is a prayer language. There's a tongue that you have where you can communicate with God. There's a tongue here that's called when the Holy Spirit prays in and through you. When the Holy Spirit prays, the Father knows the heart of all, and the Spirit is saying, he knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with the will of God. How many want the will of God perfectly performed in your life? I just want to be in the will of God, Pastor. I just want to be the center of his will. You ready? I don't know what to do. I don't know how to make myself in the center of it. I want the will of God in my family. I want the will of God in my job. You see, and what happens is often, I don't know about you, but when I'm praying in tongues, the things I don't know how to pray, concerns I have, and I start praying in tongues, the wisdom of God starts to flow in my spirit. I get revelation. Then all of a sudden I'm sitting down and I'm writing to myself and I'm declaring things over myself because the Spirit has been interceding according to the will of God, and he brings revelation in your spirit. Is anybody okay? We got Gord's okay, and you know why that's good? Because Gord's one of my elders. So if Gord's okay, I'm okay. Amen. 1 Corinthians 14:4, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself. The word edify is a compound word. It means to build and house, build house, build house. When you speak in tongues, guess what you're doing? You're building your spiritual house. You're building a spiritual house, because what are you? You are the temple. You are the dwelling place of God. And when you pray in tongues, you are building the edifice of God. You are building a place where God can manifest his power and strength through. When you pray, you are building the house. You're building the tabernacle. You're building that mobile, moving tabernacle where the glory of God is gushing forth from you. So you pray in tongues, you're building yourself up. You're building the dwelling place of God. James 3:6-8, he says, and among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. What came at Pentecost? What came? Tongues of fire. Tongues of fire. Where else is there tongues of fire in the Bible? Well, there's tongues of fire in James. Who can tame the tongue? Here's what the tongue does. The tongue, among all the body parts, it is a flame of fire, corrupting your entire body and setting all of your life into flames and fire. But no one can tame the tongue. That's why the Spirit gave you the gift of tongues, because the gift of tongues comes, and supernatural fire always puts out natural fire. And when you speak in tongues, you are eliminating that tongue of fire. Who can control it? Well, no man might be able to, but the Holy Ghost can. And when you pray in tongues, you shut down the tongue of fire that is natural and that is destructive. And what does it do? It affects your body and it affects your path. It affects your body and it affects your journey. In the same way an evil tongue of fire can mess up your life, in the same way a Holy Ghost, glossalia, the speaking of the Holy Ghost, you build yourself up, you loose health in your spirit, you lose health in your body, and you bless the journey that God has you on, and your way prospers. Thank you. I was beginning to wonder if you were enjoying that at all. All right. You are speaking and living in harmony with the will of God. The gift of tongues tames the tongue. By practicing praying and singing in the Spirit, you will make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. You are speaking and living in harmony with the will of God. I don't have the whole quote here. I do. It's in my other notes, but I'm going to give you just a piece of it. Hold on. Let me. I'm going to escape out of there. I'm going to go over here. They can put a bit of it on the top there. I'm going to read a bit more of the quote. This is from Dr. Carl R. Peterson, MD. He did studies on people who spoke in tongues. And here's the conclusion. He wrote a huge paper about it, very complicated, very interesting. But he wanted to dumb it down and summarize it for people. So he wrote this. You can go Google that. You can look it up and you can find this. Carl R. Peterson, MD. I had a number of inquiries concerning the efficacy of praying in the Spirit, speaking in tongues, and its benefit for the human immune system, immunity enhanced by chemicals released from parts of the brain. I'm attempting to clarify some of that information that I've shared with a number of the ministers. He said, this is the information that may be deduced from what we know about the brain and its function when you're speaking in tongues. We do know that part of the brain affected most noticeably represents the significant portion of the brain that deals with metabolic activity. Therefore, voluntary speech during extended times of speaking in tongues or praying in tongues or singing in tongues is a major stimulation of these parts of your body. The hypothalamus. The hypothalamus has direct regulation over four systems in your body. When you're praying in tongues, the hypothalamus dominates your pituitary gland, dominates your immune system, dominates your autonomic system, and also the production of brain hormones, endorphins, and anchophalins. Say anchophalins. Anyways, these are all fabulous chemicals which bring healing to your body. They are 100 to 200 times more powerful than morphine. In summary, a very significant percentage of central nervous system is directly and indirectly activated in a process of extended and verbal musical prayer, speaking in tongues over a period of time. The results is of a significant brain hormones release that turn an increase in general immunity. It's also further enhanced through joyful laughter and increased respiration of oxygen taken to the brain through the diaphragm and the muscles. This phenomenon can be seen as a physical activity in general. It's just as good as running. I don't know about you, but I lost it there because have you ever seen a happy runner? I've never seen a happy runner. So I love this because I don't want to run, but I want all the benefits. Amen? You know what? Running is... But I love... Ooh, I was jumping at the same time. Jesus. In the old covenant, it said, obey the word, get the word, mutter the word. In the new covenant, it says... get rocked in the Holy Ghost, speak in tongues, and that'll order your life, and you'll be speaking over yourself the very will of God. And it'll bring blessing, and it'll bring prosperity, and it'll bring peace into your whole experience. Please settle down. That's true. That's why I would encourage you that speaking in tongues is a big, big deal. All right, I'm done. Come on, stand up on your feet. Now, we have locked all the doors. The secret password to get out is ri-pa-ra-ra-ba-shan-da-la-ba-ga-bro-sto. I tell you, if I got something really good that I know will change your life, if I had a hammer, I would knock it into your head. But that wouldn't be polite. I do pray in the name of Jesus that the seed of this word that I have stumbled over, preaching seems like such foolishness sometimes, but I pray, Holy Spirit, you would take the seed of this word and push it deep down in our hearts today. I pray that not a single person would escape from the reality of this, and I pray that this word, which is a seed, a living word, I pray that it would go deep down in hearts and bear much fruit. I rebuke all the birds of the air who would try to steal it and rob it from people's hearts, and I command it to bear fruit in each person's experience. I want every single person here to walk in a good life, to have good success and prosper in what they're doing, in Jesus' name. Now keep your... Thank you.